Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Focal Point podcast with Angela Marafino and Chantel Sims. In order to continue evolving as a forward-thinking industry that accepts others as they are, we need to hear more stories from diverse individuals regarding their struggles and successes throughout their careers in technology. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hi, I'm Chantel Sims.
And I'm Angela Marafino.
And this is Focal Point. Hi, Alyssa. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Chantel. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's good to see you again.
Coffee time. Hey, Angela. Angela, you and I actually have been on a show together before, haven't we?
Right, yeah. So that's what I was going to say.
But the background is different. You were in a different room or something.
It was the Hacker Book Club.
Yeah, like we... Oh, it was bothering me. I was like, God, I'm fucking this chick. And I was like...
all about...
It's the Hacker Book Club. But you know what was throwing me off was you're like in a different house or something. You're like in a different place.
I don't remember anything about last year.
You're like, last year was a blur. I was high.
I was in the office of this apartment.
I was blasted most of 2020.
I think most of this country was.
Alyssa, I was in a different room before because COVID wasn't happening yet. And so my girlfriend now has that office and I'm in the bedroom.
Are you guys quarantining from each other?
No, we talk on the phone all day. We're both in meetings, so we have to. And we have
that's a major thing for my wife and I too. Yeah, it's tough because when you're both on conference calls or you're both doing you guys know podcasts. Like you want
quiet.
Quiet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough.
So that's why.
Yeah, Chantel, do you live with your? Do you cohabitate?
Oh yes, we live in a big, beautiful house. She usually works upstairs, and she's a social worker, top flight social worker. Shout out to you, wifey.
They're married. But, so.
I'm sorry. I thought you said girlfriend. Married. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Wife. That's okay. The wife. Capital W.
Just we've only been skip the whole girlfriend thing. Like that's just the thing men and women do, like heteros do. Like that whole
right.
Let's go right to the.
We
wife.
Did marry.
I've already been married
in way though.
I've already been married and divorced, so I'm like,
Angela, I got it. Angela, I'm gonna air my dirty laundry. I'm way worse. This is my fourth marriage.
Woo!
I do have to say this. I don't count the first one because it was my former life before I died and became reborn.
Sure.
And so this would be my third. But the other two, my wife's cheated on me. And I got cheated on and they left. Oh. So I wasn't in control of those divorces.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, I have respect for myself and you know, I'm not gonna stay with somebody that cheats on me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, it's all right. You know, I got to this realization in my life when it was actually about 40, when I realized that, you know, it's like, why, you know, it hurts, feel it, work through it. But at the same time, that's just, you know, the universe telling you this person is not for me. This person is not, that this person doesn't value me, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I think, especially as women, we need to value ourselves. We need to do more of that.
Yes.
Hashtag more, please. And, you know, so it's like Will Smith. I could listen to Will Smith's videos all day long. So he did this thing like he did this rant in his car where he's like, you know, if you're not with somebody that stokes your fire, you know, if they put your fire out, you know, Mel is the first woman I've ever been with that really stokes my fire. Like she's like, yes, you can do this. Create a screenplay. Yes, you can do this. And, you know, it's like, that's what you need. And so, you know, then it starts to become, well, all those other people, I wasted my time with, you know, versus like crying over the loss of it. You realize that is kind of what's made me who I am today and realize how to value myself, how to love myself. Cause I mean, I think, I don't know. I feel like it's ingrained in us, encoded in us to, you know, love and serve, you know, the other person, but you need to love and serve yourself, you know, before you can love and serve anyone else.
That brings to mind for me, like, I've been thinking to myself, like, just reading your site and learning a little bit more about you and your businesses.
Sorry,
that you've like,
sound effect, sorry. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I did not mean to laugh.
That is okay.
Anyway, that was what I was supposed to was the. Anyway,
yes,
I have
no, you're good.
Podcaster. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's all good.
Go. Sorry.
Action. No, but in saying that, it makes me think about the businesses that you've like started and sold. And I've like thought to myself, like, who just does that for one? And also just like, how were you able to do that? And talking about like, you have to learn to like love yourself and advocate for yourself and show yourself self-respect. How do you carry that with you into creating and selling a whole company? Like,
yeah,
does that make
so,
sense? Like how?
Yeah. So for me, it was, you know, I in high school. So like I started my first company when I was 17 and I had, you know, I remember this one day in high school, I had this teacher that just didn't like me for one way reason or another. Maybe I was too loud. Maybe I talked too much, but she just didn't like me. And we had to do this thing where we said, you know, what are we going to do? What's our goal in life? What are we going to do after school? And I remember standing up and saying, well, I'm going to start and run companies and I'm going to be a millionaire before I turn 21. And so she actually said for everyone, well, that's great, but you need to create realistic goals. And I was puzzled because I asked like, but who's to say that that's not realistic? What, who are you to tell me what goal of mine is realistic and unrealistic? And so I think my fuego, my fire, my fuel in life is people that, that say negative things about me. I'm fueled by trolls. I'm fueled by people that tell me that that's not realistic. So I set out to start a company at 17 and I sold it to a public company for about $3 million when I was 20, I had turned 20. And that was when the exit happened.
Wow.
That was my first startup. And so I wanted to prove that teacher wrong. And then my second startup, I ran into some really bad bullying in a company I worked for. And for me, that was my fire to start a new company and so I could sell something for, you know, more than the last company. And I started that and sold that for $5 million. And so then that was when I was 27. And then now, you know, with Briar and Thorne, the MSSP I started, you know, that was coming out of the strife of the, you know, being cheated on and losing my family. And, you know, I have a 16-year-old son, you know, who's living with my ex, you know, and all of this really bad mojo, that voodoo that was going on in my life. And it's like, you know what, I'm going to start a new company. Some people like, you know, turn to drinking or turn to drugs. I'm like, I'm going to start a new company.
Wow.
I'm just going to be successful.
Yeah. I'm just going to like start a company and prove my ex wrong that she like left me for her ex and she's stupid. So I'm going to start a new company and show her. It's nonsensical. It makes
sense. That's amazing.
It makes sense. But,
it is.
That was my thing. And so I started Briar and Thorne and we started, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of done with cybersecurity because everyone's an asshole. So I was so this was about the time when Blackwater happened. Sorry, not everyone.
Oh.
This is when Blackwater happened. And I was like, you know, I'm going to start a defense contracting company. So I got out of cyber and I was on the news on Fox News Live about Al-Qaeda targeting U.S. cyber, U.S. critical infrastructure. And I appeared on the show. And as soon as I came out, the FBI was waiting for me. They picked me up and I went to go work for the U.S. intelligence community in cyber warfare. I was the first woman to go through SEER training. They, you know, put a hood over my head, kidnapped me. It was, you know, they electrocuted me with a car battery and torture training. They waterboarded me. So I went through this whole horrific close quarter combat training, but it made me a badass. And I got some great video and photos from it. But
is that on the YouTube channel?
Yeah. So there's I think that tactical video is up there. If not, I'll upload it. But you know, great video from it. And So, you know, and I got into defense contracting and wanted to blow shit up. And, you know, so then Breyer and Thorne got out of defense contracting. We supported counterinsurgency operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we, and of course it was on the cyber warfare side still, but, you know, we still did some high risk zone, close protection and stuff like that. But, then I was like, yeah, I'm tired of being shot at, kind of hurts. So I'm going to get back into cyber. So that was my journey on, and Breyer and Thorne kind of evolved into this MSSP now. And we got a letter of intent for me to sell that to a company in, Zurich, in the Zurich area. So that was for 10 million. So I was like, if I sold my new company, it has to be twice as much as I sold Applied Watch for. So I wanted to sell for no less. And it makes no sense, but it made sense to me. So, you know, I'm like, I need to sell it for 10 million. So I got an LOI. I walked away from that. So I'm still kind of running. I'm still running Breyer and Thorne. I've stepped down. I'm now the chairwoman on the board of directors, and I've got this amazing woman, Caroline Odorice, who's running the company now. I hired her as a project manager. She kicked ass and moved her way up the ladder from a project manager. Now she's the CEO. So she's
wow.
Yeah. Like, I'm all about, we're actually 100% women led company. So every single woman in the leadership role on the board of directors are all women. And yes. So we're really just kicking ass and taking names. So, So I've had a good journey. You know, I've succeeded, but never failed, because I believe that failure, is when you've given up. That's failure, you know, not achieving a goal you set out to do or falling is not a failure to me. It becomes a failure when you give up. So I don't believe I've ever failed. I've had setbacks, but I've had many successes and turned those into successes. So I really don't believe any of us are really failures until we've given up. I have the same amount of time as the homeless man on the street. I have the same amount of time as Tim Cook. You know, what am I going to do with my time?
Yeah,
so that was approved. That was the leadership team have approved. They're the ones who sponsored the mHealth research that's about to drop. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for that, but
cool. I heard you talking about it before.
Yeah, I downloaded and hacked 30 mHealth apps and APIs, and so
yes,
yeah, because like everyone's telemedicining.
Yeah,
I just made that word up. Mm. Yeah. Medicine and mHealthing, you know, visiting their doctor through these mobile apps, and they've got problems, man.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, Alyssa, how did you meet your wife?
So I went to Black Hat Briefings because I got nominated for this Hacker of the Year award, right? So I go to Black Hat Briefings, and this was in 2018, and Mel, my wife, Melissa, Melissa. So we like call her Mel because it's just so ridiculous. Like Melissa and Alyssa. Anyway,
so call her isses.
Yeah. Too much isses. So so she gets nominated for Cybersecurity Leader of the Year or something. So we're both at the gala, and she's like, she's been following me for years, right? So she's like my number one fan. And I didn't know this, of course. And so she's at the thing, and she's like, oh my God, she went there with her brother. It was the cutest thing. Her date was her brother. It was the most adorable thing. They're like inseparable. They're like best friends, like inseparable.
That's awesome.
And she's like, that's Alyssa that I need to meet. So she's like, she's talking about like, come with me. And so he's like eating his cake. He's like, no, I want to stay here and eat my cake. And so he gets up and follows her, and they walk across the room, and I'm like decked out, look amazing. Like I have this new dress, and I had my hair did, you know, I was looking good. And she walks up, she's like, I am Melissa. I just want you to know I've been following you for years, and since you first started hacking cars. And so it was funny because she was the VP of managed services for Herjavec Group, which is a competitor of mine, and Robert Herjavec from Shark Tank. That's Robert Herjavec's company. And so that, you know, since, you know, she was in Robert's private jet, and they were flying around, and Robert's like, do you know Alyssa Knight? We're going to buy her company. And she's like, I of course, like ever since There was a Tesla hack or something. And she's like, you know, we're going to hack Tesla. And I went out there looking for someone who could hack connected cars. And there's really very few people out there who are doing this, right? And especially a woman. And, you know, so anyway, so she'd been following me for, and she's like, I'm your biggest fan. Like, and so I'm like, you want to go to coffee? You're hot. She's like, my wife is like super hot. Yes. And I'm like, you want to go coffee with me tomorrow morning? So no, that's not entirely true. I'm going to keep going. So she's like, let's go to a club. I was like, yeah, let's blow this joint. So we went to this club down the street. I forget. It's the pyramid or anyway. And so we're at this club and I lose her. Like, she's gone. Like, I go out to the porch and I thought she knew I was out there and she thought I ditched her. So she's ordering me drinks and whatever. And I'm out on the porch and I'm like, why isn't she coming? And so I'm out there waiting. I come back into the club. She's gone. So I'm like, oh God, she thinks I ditched her. So there was a porch and I guess the door was kind of hidden. So she like, oh my God, like I've been following this chick for years and I'm her biggest fan. You and left. She ditched me. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm the biggest bitch. So I'm like, I got to clear this up. So I left the club. I went to the hotel. My hotel was like midnight or one. And I stalk her. I'm like Googling her. Melissa Coppola, where is she?
And how do I find you?
And I found her. And so I'm like, I look at Robert Herjavec's email address to find out what the format of their email addresses are. Right? Because, you know, it's either first initial last name or first, you know, whatever, or first name dot last name. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to just try all of them. So I'm like, M. Zacopal at Herjavec Group, Melissa dot, you know, and so it gets, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I swear to God, I didn't ditch you. Let's have coffee tomorrow morning. And so I give her my cell phone number. And she calls me. And right now, I don't know, is she straight? Is she gay? Is she, what is this girl? But I didn't care. She was hot. I was like, I'm going for it. So she's like, yeah, let's meet for coffee in the morning. And so we have coffee. And this is like, I'm speaking at QueerCon. And so I'm like, she's like, I'll be your Uber. I'll drive you. I'm like, this chick's going to drive me around Vegas all day. Hell yeah. So I'm like, and I get in like, every woman I've ever been with, I was like the sugar mama, right? I was the sugar mama. And we go over to her car and it's like, it's this really expensive Audi. I'm like, oh my God, this chick's loaded. Like, this is great. The only thing that would make this more perfect is she's gay, right? So I'm like,
you're like, I love Vegas.
She's a hacker. I can talk to her about buffer overflows. Like, this is amazeballs. So we get in the car and she's like, I'm thinking like, okay, got to ask the questions. Like, you know, are you
married?
Are you with anyone? Are you married? Do you have kids? You know, the typical kind of so you just kind of put your feelers and she's like, no, you know, I'm single. And so we're talking and, you know, I bring up the fact that, you know, because I was speaking at QueerCon and so she's in the audience and I do this presentation about me being trans and she's like, and I'm putting these pictures up of this hot guy and this, you know, I'm like, this is me. And she's like, oh my God, like you were hot as a guy. And so I was like, okay. So she gets my entire story. And so I'm on the stage at QueerCon. And so we leave and she's like, I got to go to my plane. So we're like, you know, we're having coffee before.
Gotta go to my plane.
We have this like love connection with ours. You know, that look, like when you're drinking coffee, you just give that look that you're just like, you're both kind of like, oh my God, like I'm so attracted to this person. And so we had those moments. And on the way to the airport, I can't remember how I asked it, like, you know, have you ever been with a woman? Have you, you know, like trying to feel like I'm at this point, whatever, right?
How'd you feel about my presentation?
Yeah, exactly. What did you think about my presentation?
Tell me more.
So she drops me off at the airport and then I get on the plane. I'm like, you know what? Okay. So I texted her and I'm like, so I'm into you. Like, what do you think? She's like,
what do you think?
Like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And I was like, yes. yes, she's gay. And so, but you know, she was actually married to a man, but now like this is the story. The moral story is I turned this straight woman gay. She'd never been with a woman. Sure. She'd never like, it was a, yeah, it's like mic drop. So it was great. So we were talking, we met in Canada at a hotel like a week later. And then like, you know, typical lesbian fashion, show up with the U-Haul on the second date. We got married 6 months later. We moved in together 2 months later, you know, after meeting. It was great. And so we've lived happily ever after. We're now, we're amazing. Like we're this power couple. Like we, you know, we run these family companies. We're day traders. She's since left her Jebet group. Yeah. And so So, it's, I mean, I'm married to my best friend. She's amazing.
So you don't live in Seattle?
I used to live in Seattle. So we met and then like, I don't know. I want to say a month later. We moved into an apartment together in September. We met in August. Black Hat was August. And then I moved in with her in September. We got a new apartment together in Vegas. And then we began building a house together approximately 9 months ago. So we just, what I was telling Chantel Angela was we've been living in hotels since October. So we just got moved in. We just got our keys on Friday. It's been a horrific experience, but you know, we built our dream house.
It's amazing.
My wife is so supportive of my content. So she actually gave me the entire, so there's this recording studio that we've built into the house. And then this is the main, and I wish I could show you guys the view, but we have a view to the left of, if you guys have ever been to Vegas and seen Red Rock Canyon, Red Rock Canyon's like right here. I could spit and hit a mountain, right? And then to the right is the strip. So we have this amazing view on both sides. And we work from, and that's what was weird about COVID, right? It's like, oh, everyone has to work from home. I've been working from home for like 15 years. I don't remember what it's like to report into an office.
Right.
So what you're saying, Alyssa and Angela, if we're hearing right, is that once COVID is over, we'll be flying out.
Hell coming over for an in-person interview hour.
Where we'll have a happy hour.
Margarita machine. Okay.
Yeah, that's like exactly what I heard.
Like we're having a pool put in, and you two are my new besties. You're coming over to
hang.
And
I'm
there. Bathing suits on, and we got the margarita machine. And
I'm with it. Can my wife come?
So we're, what's that?
Can my wife come?
At wives, girlfriends, whatever.
Yes. All right. Dogs, I'm with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Kangaroos, whatever. One of these days I will have a pet kangaroo. Here's the thing. Like,
they are terrifying.
I'm telling you, like it's weird. Okay. You're going to laugh at me, but my whole thing, since I was probably 12, I've always wanted a pet beaver. So like this is the thing. Okay, so check this out. This is the thing, girl. So there are exotic animal dealers that will sell you a pet beaver, and beavers are actually very affectionate animals. So check this out. So there's this
beaver.
Beaver owner groups. So there's this photo of this woman where there's a beaver sitting on her lap with its waffle tail, just chilling, watching Jeopardy, just chilling. And like, I want a pet beaver. Like, I want to be the one walking down the street where Chantel's like, hey, there goes Alyssa with her pet beaver. Like, with a beaver on a leash, walking, and it's going to be wearing overalls, and its name is going to be Mortimer Ichabod. That's my
Mortimer Ichabod.
Mortimer Ichabod. All right. And in overalls. And like, imagine how, because like people are like, hey, look at my cocker spaniel, you know, my golden retriever. Its name is Bixby. And I'm going to be like, hey, that's cool, but check out my pet beaver. And it has a tail shaped like a waffle. That beats any.
Oh my God.
How awesome is that? An animal that's got a tail that's shaped like a waffle. And it's going to be wearing overalls. And its name is going to be Mortimer Ichabod. It's like, this is Mortimer. And I'm going to be like calling its name because it's going to like love it, you know, just own it.
Many questions
that creates so many.
So many.
Amazing.
First of all, I had no idea you could even have a beaver.
Hell yeah. You can, there's websites whatsoever. Where you can order clothing for your pet beaver. Like there is somewhere out there is a website with where you can buy overalls that's got a little cutout for the tail. And you like, this is the thing. God. Now, the thing is we have wood floors, so I don't think Mel will allow me to have a pet beaver because we'll come home and our floors would be gone.
Yeah.
But I was you just get some lumber and you're like, beavers.
Yeah, I don't know how practical this actually is in the Western world, but like, I don't know. It's going one day, just either one day, just you're going to be, and I'm going to do a video. I'll do a YouTube video and like,
please do
introduce the world. Please do. I promise your show is the show I will be on to introduce my beaver.
Wow. I like it. Hold on. Say his name one more time.
Like, this is an interesting show.
What's his name? Say that one more time.
Mortimer Ichabod.
Okay. Mortimer
Ichabod.
We're
going to
say him a guest spot.
Yeah. I just feel like it's very gangster. Imagine this beaver walking through like Cabrini Green in Chicago, just like packing a 45, like, yo, sup, G, my name's
Mortimer
Ichabod. You could call me M Dog. Then that's my beaver. That's how it will go down.
Oh my God.
That's how it will represent,
I've officially heard it all.
I know. I only want to talk about beaver stuff now.
Seriously, who cares about buffer overflows and application security? Like,
exactly.
It kind of actually makes me think about how teachable are beavers.
It's interesting because if you think about it, you have people that have like pet tigers, right? And pet lions, I think if you take anything from a baby and you raise it, but the problem is that there's that thousands of years of instinct, right? Like everyone's like, oh my god, the tiger went the tiger went crazy. No,
he's hungry.
Motherfucker, you had your head in his mouth. That tiger went tiger. It's like Chris Rock. That tiger went tiger. That, it's like, it's like, okay, I know, God rest his soul. I know Roy, one of them just passed away. Roy, was it Roy?
The tiger.
The tiger dude. He got attacked, remember? I don't know. Like everything is trainable, but it's like, can you undo thousands of years of encoding? Like you said, Angela, it just goes tiger, it just goes beaver. And I don't know. Like, what does a beaver do when it goes beaver? Do my floors go?
That's a very good question.
Like, what are my floors?
What?
I don't know. But you just can't get the teeth is the buck teeth. You can't get rid of those. Those are too cute. You know how like some people declaw cats, like, it's horrible. I can't take out the two front teeth of my beaver. It's like, it's the cutest thing on the beaver other than its waffle tail.
Hilarious.
I'm supposed to go about the rest of my day after this is what I'm trying to say.
Angela, neither you or Chantal are going to be able to carry on the rest of the day. It's going to be the binge watching
Netflix. I'm already
no work after a show with Alyssa Knight. I've hijacked the show enough. I'm so sorry. This is Chantal.
No, you guys. This is your show today. We are simply fangirling in the background. I know I am. We're interviewing her today.
I love
and my family.
But that's a good
I saw a video on your website though, and it was really badass.
Was it
I
was epic? Like, oh, was it the, did it, goodness, is it the one with the FBI epic. Agents? Was it the one with the FBI
I think
agents?
So.
Yeah,
I think
so. Where they like kind of kicked down the door.
Surrounded by monitors and stuff. And
I
got so many of those.
I don't know which video, but they're all epic. But like, I'm telling you, I miss my calling to work at DreamWorks. Like, I love video production. I love doing any video. I love any, like, I get so depressed when I find out that I'm on a podcast and it's not video. It's just audio. I'm like,
right.
You made myself look so nice in this video. And it's like, look at the video quality. Look at the color grading. The color graders, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Knight. We're not doing video on this. I'm like, why aren't you? People don't care about audio anymore. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
This is the part where you guys say, Alyssa, this is just audio.
It is.
It might be just audio. But hey, that's okay.
We're
at the video.
We're going to put this shit on LinkedIn and Twitter anyway.
Exactly. This I was going to say, we can tease out the video.
Yes. Let's make
By the happen. Way, am I allowed to swear? I forgot to ask.
Yeah. Officially, we haven't published anything yet. So I guess they're going to tell us. But we're telling you, yes. Probably clip
it. Okay,
yes.
Cool. All
right. Yes, we can leave it if need be, but I've already been dropping bombs here and there. So
at this point, I've forgotten why we're here today.
Yeah, I know. It's something about hacking or security or something. But, you know, speaking of shows, but. Now I'm going to unveil this. I don't know if I've unveiled it yet, but I think this is the first time.
This is
where it's happening.
This is the spot. Yes.
I was approached by a major producer to produce a new Netflix series. It's either going to be on either Netflix or Amazon Prime or Apple TV. So three of the studios are gunning for it. So they're doing a TV series based on my life. So I'm writing a screenplay right now.
Yo! Oh my God. Yo. Oh my God.
So when Mr. Robot got canceled, they're like, okay, you know, right now it's all about heroine, female, you know, kick-ass women in movies. We want to do a new TV series based where the heroine, where the protagonist is a woman. And so someone reached out to someone who reached out to someone where the producers came to me and said, we want to do one based on your life. And so I'm now like, for me,
that's it was
like final bucket list item, published a book, done. I'm done. It's all good.
Wow.
Now,
get a beaver.
Like, TV series, beaver.
Be on
it. Yeah. It's like, yeah. But like, so this is, you know,
it's huge.
That's very huge. I'm like super excited over here. Like, oh my God. Yes.
I am so excited. Ready. I've never written fiction before because what they want to do is they want it to be based on my life, but they want me to fold in fiction. So, you know how you see those things where it's like, I don't know if you guys ever saw Scorpion, but it's kind of like that, where they want it loosely based. They want it based on my life, but they want to add in that drama and that stuff. Mm. So it takes place in this, a dystopian future.
Oh, I love that.
It's going to be.
Can you build in the pet beaver?
Yeah.
I swear I was just thinking that.
Has to have a role in this show. So, and it's funny because I was thinking like, okay, well, writing the screenplay for a TV series is not that big of a deal. I was thinking like, you know, writing a screenplay for a movie is a lot more intense and challenging, but it turns out that if you think about it, an entire TV series for
the entire season
is five movies. So I'm like, of course, this is like the ignorance of Alyssa Knight. Like, sure, yeah, let's do it. Like, it's got to be easier than a movie. And then I find out after the fact that my ignorance led me to have to write.
I assumed I figured that you would just like tell somebody your story.
Yeah, and they would write it.
And then they would be like, here's some stuff.
Yeah, here's some stuff. Do it on this. I did this one time. But no, it's like, so I'm in the process of writing the pilot episode right now. And so, and I'm also about to make a major announcement soon. I can't drop it yet. But
You sure you don't want to drop it?
It has to do with I'm going to say it has to do with a very big bang. So like,
that's all I'll say.
So a lot of exciting things happening. When I can announce it, I commit that you guys can be the first ones to drop it. So I will come on your show again and we'll drop it on your show.
Yes.
So it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. But I have no idea what I'm doing. I downloaded, like, I'm like Googling, what do people use to write screenplays? So I'm like, software, like Scrivener. So I'm like downloading Scrivener. I'm like, I have no idea what Scrivener is or what the hell, like, what is a slug? What the hell is a slug? And it's been an adventure. It's been an adventure. So I'm in the process of finishing the pilot episode. So it's crazy.
Yeah. I can't even imagine like someone approaching me to say like, hey, let's, Let's go ahead and put you on TV. Let's put your life out there. There's no way my life is that.
There's time.
We're going to have Michelle Obama play you, and we're going to like.
I mean, she could. She could try.
It's just like spitting image of me. I don't say it like I actually. I think you're more beautiful than Michelle. It's like,
thank you.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
I think you're way more attractive than her.
Thank you. You know,
like, here's the thing, though. It's, you know, that then the million-dollar question is like, okay, get the screenplay. Like, then I have to work with the director on who plays me. Like, what? How does that work? Like, is this?
I know.
Alyssa Milano. I know that's.
Yeah. Or you know what I was thinking? Wonder Woman. I cannot.
Gal Gadot.
Okay, I'm thinking Gal Gadot, but she's probably really expensive. And then
she probably is. Yeah, I say choose anyone.
She's not as expensive as she should be.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Don't choose Scarlett Johansson. Don't do that, please.
That's true. So how about we actually stick to the audience is probably like, I can't remember what kind of show this is about.
Is this a
cybersecurity show, or is this like
this is cybersecurity?
We have to start a new show together, and it's going to be like The View, but way more epic. Well,
fine.
Maybe Whoopi.
Maybe
will
this is that
the show.
I don't.
We could get Whoopi.
Yo, we can. You might have more pull with Whoopi than we do, but. So I know that like you have some expertise with car hacking. I actually don't know a ton about it. And I was actually curious about the first car you hacked and like how that even happened.
So, you know, there's different attack vectors for a car, right? A lot of people think, oh, I'm impervious to being hacked because I don't have a Tesla. But anything after, I think it was 2001 when GM introduced OnStar. So any car made after 2001, is connected. So, and they connect, automakers connect to their cars over what's called OTA or over the air updates via GSM. And so there's multiple attack vectors for a car. You've got GSM, if you know, you're on the cell network, and you can easily do that through jumping on the hotspot on your phone or, you know, any other method. And Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, because cars have Wi-Fi, they have Bluetooth. And believe it or not, your car communicates with what's called an API or an application programming interface. And an API is basically, think of it like a web server. Kind of like, so like, let me explain for your audience. Okay, you guys probably know what an API is. So the perfect example of an API is really like, for me, it's like an electrical socket in your house, right? So like the API doesn't care. The electrical socket doesn't care what you plug into as long as it can fit into those little holes. You know, you're charging your cell phone or your hair dryer or whatever. That's like the mobile app or the client, the API client. The API is the electrical socket. Doesn't care what you plug into it. It's going to provide you whatever electricity your electrical provider is, whether it's nuclear, coal. The API doesn't care. It doesn't care what's providing the power. It's going to give you that power. Same thing with an API. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter what the back end is. It's just going to provide that data that the API has been written for. So it's very much like an electrical socket. So your car, mobile apps on your mobile phone, they all communicate with APIs. As a matter of fact, our entire banking infrastructure now is APIs. Open banking in the UK. That's APIs. So your car, believe it or not, communicates with an API. And so a lot of the hacking that I do with connected vehicles is over APIs. And I found, you know, in this more recent law enforcement vehicle hack research that you may have seen the trailer for, I was hacking those law enforcement vehicles through the APIs. And, you know, being able to remotely stop and start the vehicle, lock and unlock the doors of a law enforcement vehicle. Federal and state. And so it's a scary thing. The first vehicle I did hack was actually Mercedes when I lived and worked in Germany. I think it's been long enough now I can say it, hopefully. So, you know, I was retained by a company out in Germany. I relocated to Germany and lived there for a few years, which was a lot of fun. Got to see how they live over across the Atlantic. And that was awesome. So I learned how to hack connected cars in Germany. And I really kind of, you know, it was an awesome experience because, you know, I dabbled in, but just because you're a penetration tester doesn't mean you can hack a connected car. You need to understand
exactly
a lot of, you know, automotive mechatronics and a lot of this other stuff like CAN bus and all this other stuff. But, you know, I had an amazing, I really became great friends with my, the client who really introduced me to the world of automotive mechatronics and taught me a lot of this stuff mm-hmm. and got to learn on the job. And it's rare to be able to do that. And I think mm-hmm. we in cybersecurity have a tendency to have this more elite than thou attitude. I came out of the womb knowing how to hack APIs and cars.
Oh my God, it's so true.
It's like no one wants to admit that they learned on the job or learned in the middle of a project. You know, it's like fake it till you make it has gone too far. You know, like where you just don't want to talk about faking it. It's okay. You know, I mean, okay, back when I started hacking, we had this site called securityfocus.com. I don't know if you ladies remember.
Oh, yeah, I know Security Focus.
Remember it. But I used to publish things on Security Focus. And, you know, that's where we learned. We taught ourselves. We learned mm-hmm. on prod. Like, yeah, I've been doing pen testing for like 10 years. And like, you don't even know how to spell it. You don't even know what a port's getting. And you're like, I'm going to charge you 20 grand. And they're like, okay. And you're like going to Security Focus to figure out how to do a pen test. But like, or Metasploit Unleashed, you know, but, you know, or how exposed. But, you know, you learn while doing it. And it's for me, the things that, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, the things that I've learned the most about have been on topics I presented on at conferences, because I firmly believe you have not truly learned something or mastered a skill until you can teach it to other people. If you can't teach it, it means you yourself don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And so I've always lived my life that way. You know, I love talking. I love speaking. I love public, being on stage pre-COVID, you know, being on stage and talking about something, because I had to learn so much in order to be able to teach it, that's where I feel like, you know, I've truly mastered that skill, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Basically, Chantel, you need to read the book. That's all in the book.
That's what you got to do. You got to go buy the book and write a 5-star review.
Well, lucky for y'all, I already bought the book. So now I'm just waiting.
I will. So, hey, when you come over for that margarita machine, I'll sign that book for you. So
bow.
Boom.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Boom.
In between when we took a break, Chantel and I were like, so when can we start planning the trip? How soon before we get the tickets?
You think I'm kidding? We have a 4-bedroom home here. You guys can rock out the guest rooms. It's down. Have you guys seen my fridge? Oh, I haven't done it yet. Mel and I were like, this is our forever home. We're never moving again. So we're like, we're going to die in this house. So let's buy the most epic.
Oh my God.
So the whole house is connected. So when we were building the house, they weren't legally allowed to give us the keys yet, right? But Mel and I are like, we want to be able to come in whenever we want because it's our house. So what I did was I'm like, hey, that garage door opener looks like it's connected to the internet. So I hacked the garage and got the codes, and I was able to remotely. Yeah. I don't know if I should be admitting this.
Right, I'm like, I don't think we should tell.
But so like I got the codes, and so I'm like, I could open my garage door from anywhere, like wherever I was. And it's like, hey, honey, you want to go to check out the new house? But no one's there. That's okay. I hacked the garage. So everything in our house is connected, right? And so you know, we've got these connected thermostats, and I'm like, you have to buy a refrigerator. So we're like, let's
connected
get one
fridge.
Of the fridges that has a computer screen on the door. So, we got the new Samsung, and it's got like this massive computer screen on the door. And so I'm going to do like this epic behind the scenes studio tour of my home. Like you see other YouTubers doing studio tours. I'm going to do a home tour and
MTV Cribs.
It's going to be Cribs. It's going to be like MTV Cribs. It's like Alyssa Knight Cribs.
Yeah,
it's going to be a house. So yeah,
you broke into your own house. I love that so much.
It was amazing. So
I know
the washer dryer is connected. We're getting the LG thing, so it's going to be able to communicate with my cell phone. I'm going to hack this shit. You guys think I'm kidding?
Eventually, like it's just going to do it for you. You're not even going to have to.
I'm going to install Metasploit on my washing machine, and it's going to be doing. It's going to be.
Can yours Can you get like a Roomba to like to drive your laundry to the washing machine to like dump it?
I need an interpreter backdoor my vacuum cleaner. We got the, you know, the new LG cordless. Like it's like when you build a house, you're like, we're starting fresh. We're like, we don't even want to bring everything in from storage. So I'm like we're putting it in the garage first. We're putting it in the garage first, and we're gonna cherry pick what we bring into the house, and the rest is getting donated.
Yeah.
I'm the radical opposite of that, where I'm like, I'll just throw new shit away. Like it'll still have the tag on it and I'll donate it. I'll be like, Goodwill. There's some homeless people walking around San Francisco with like thousands of dollars worth of clothes on there, like diesel.
Oh my goodness.
And
that's amazing. You
know, like Versace trench coats and shit. But like, yeah,
well,
that
you can
was
throw
weird.
It over here.
Well, it's funny because like, trans people don't really talk about it. Like their wardrobe change. Like I had, so like as a man, like see some trans people are like, I don't like looking at my body because like, you know, I didn't like my body. I get that. But like, mm-hmm. I wasn't like that. I wasn't like, damn, I'm hot. I make a hot man. So like, I was like, you know, I invested a lot of money in clothes when I was a man. Mm-hmm. And so there's people walking around San Francisco that are shopping at Goodwill that are like finding Versace shirts and Versace jeans at Goodwill.
They have no idea why you would ever give this away.
They understand like, what the fuck is happening? Like someone was killed and their spouse, after murdering their spouse, dropped off her husband's clothes at Goodwill. And it's like Versace. Yeah, it was like tens of thousands of dollars worth of new clothes that I had to donate because I wasn't going to wear them.
Wow.
You know, I was excited to buy Seven for All Mankind jeans and Diesel Women jeans. And, you know, like I wanted to, like, if I was going to have my outside match my inside, I was going to do it right. I was going to be like, I was going to be hot.
Yes.
I'm going to be amazing.
Yes.
And so I rocked it out. I'm like, I'm going to rock out this whole like girl thing. I'm going to make this whole woman thing look fucking amazing. And so I donated all the men's clothes. And then, you know, I like, yeah, it was cool.
So that's, so I feel like we're all best friends now.
besties.
So besties. I'm just gonna lay it out there. I had no idea you were trans.
Oh, yeah, that is like the best thing you could tell any trans person. That's the best.
Fucking clue. So
that's amazing.
Neither did I.
So we're just like,
thank you.
It's phenomenal.
Oh my god, like it's funny because you know the gender dysphoria in you is like. Angela's just saying that to make me feel better.
I don't need to make you feel better. Your confidence level is one of the things I love.
Seriously.
Oh, isn't it like confidence is so sexy?
It's amazing.
But like, it's funny because like, I'll be at the doctor. Like, we went. So what was it? What happened? Like a few months ago, I went to the doctor, and I'm sitting across the doctor, and she's like, you know, the standard woman questions that doctors ask women that men don't get. Like, when was your last menstruation cycle? And I'm like, what do you mean?
She's
like, when did you last menstruate? I was like, my period? Like, is that what we're talking about? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I've never had one. And she's like, what do you mean you've never had a period? I was like,
did you read my file? What are we doing?
I know, because thank you for the compliment, but I've never had a period because I was born with testicles. And she's like, what? Oh, she's like, oh, so you're a hermaphrodite, you're mixed sex. I was like, no, I was born a man, dude. She's like, mind blown. Like, what? I'm like, I was like, oh, you're making my making my day. But thank you. But it's interesting because you know, you do have those moments where you meet people where you're like what's trans, what do you mean you're trans? Like,
yeah. Which seems crazy because it's like, how do you not know about these things
with
like the internet?
Yeah, with 2021, some people don't even know the term. Some people don't even know how to use the right term, and not understand that sex is very different from gender. And it's difficult because I don't, you know, as lesbians, I'm sure, you know, you've seen this where, you know, there's a lot of very radical lesbians who are like, very, I think they call them TERFs on social media, but basically they're yeah. biological women that do not accept trans women as being mm-hmm. real women.
Right.
And, you know, like ovaries is what defines a woman, you know, it's like, you know, but I don't understand it. Like, because it's like, as lesbians, as the LGBT community, we're no stranger to being ostracized and being marginalized and, yeah. and having the world hate us. And so to be confronted with that hatred and that lack of love from members of your own, of the LGBT community and say, you are not a woman, stop calling yourself a woman. You know, it's like, it's so hurtful and it's so degrading, you know, it's, and you don't understand it because you're like, but you're a lesbian. What, why are you doing this? Why are you making me feel this way? You're a lesbian, you know? And it is, it's a very interesting thing. But to be confronted with that, because you get it from the heterosexual side yeah. and get it from the LGBT yeah. community too, who yeah. do not accept trans women as like real women, yeah. you know?
And well, so, and that leads me to getting to ask you a very awesome question, I think, which I always am interested in, is like, how do you get to see the world from both you know, before you transitioned and now and so you get to see, like, were there people that treated you differently, do you think, in business?
Yeah. Oh my God. So you know, question. I never, when I was a man in my former life, when I presented as a man in my former life, I never had a client proposition me for a contract. And there was a CISO with one of my clients who actually propositioned me to have a statement of work signed. And I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, is this really happening? I'm looking for, like, am I being punked? Where's Ashton? Like, am I being punked? And he was serious. And so yeah. I'm like, this is, oh my God, this is the thing. Like, this is something you hear about on news as a man, you know, that women, like, this happens to women, and it was happening to me. And so, I'm like, you know, I didn't know how to, of course he was fired. But it was shocking. It was shocking. But yeah, that's a great question. You know, I feel very blessed in the fact that, you know, I didn't hate my body. I didn't hate myself before. I just, you know, when I got out of the shower, I would cry because I couldn't put on women's clothes. It was very, very, very difficult for me. But I didn't hate my body. I didn't hate myself. I feel blessed having been able to live my life with as two separate genders, and experience what the world was like. Now it's like, as a woman, I'm noticing, like, wait a minute, dude, like this job offer I got, I was like, I haven't made that little for 20 years. Like, what do you mean you want to start me out at that salary? You know, it was like, you know, it was shocking. I'm like, no, how about this? How about you're going to pay me this, because mm-hmm. this is what I'm worth? And it was like, I never, like, that negotiation process as a man felt different. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel as adversarial as it did when I began negotiating contracts or negotiating for salaries as a woman. And it was weird. It was very, like, it was very Lifetime special.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, wow. This is a thing. And this is like these unconscious biases that, because I'm a woman, you automatically assume I'm going to sign this offer letter or sign this because I'm too scared to negotiate with you because you're going to pull the offer. No, 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 no. My rate is this, and this is what you're going to pay if you want a senior person in this role. If you want to pay that, you can go hire a junior person. You can throw a rock and hit that person, but you're not going to pay me that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting because it is, it's almost like that negotiation is received differently. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a change. It was a big change for me.
Yeah.
I can go out there, sorry to interrupt, but like, I can go out there and be like, no, like, for those of you who think that this is, you know, not a thing, or like the wage disparity is because women don't negotiate like men negotiate. Like, no, like there is an automatic unconscious bias that you walk right into as a woman where these, I mean, you, I don't know if you guys saw that thread on Twitter that went viral. It literally went viral where I chimed in on it because this guy was like saying about how cybersecurity is too fast paced for women. Did you guys see that?
I heard about it.
Like what? I think I gained over 5,000 followers in a 24-hour period when that
tweet went.
They chimed in and I said, I think I used the mic drop. You know, who's that lady, the girl who sings that Cup song? She has a great giphy of her dropping a mic. And so I was like, I chimed in, I'm like, too fast paced for women. So let me try this. So at 16, I started my first company. I sold it when I was 20, started my second startup and sold it when I was 27, started my third company at 30, sold it when I, you know, and I just went down this huge list of things that were too fast paced for women. And, you know, it was like my whole timeline, right, of success. And like thousands of people chimed in on the tweet, on the Twitter thread, and it just went viral and it was amazing. And like, I gained so much support from the women, you know, from women out there in the female community, and it was great. But yeah, there's a lot of shocking things that men say about women in cybersecurity. I had a LinkedIn thread that I went off on this guy who was like, women would rather stay at home and have a family and have children than be involved in tech, or, you know, like it's not made for women. Like, what are you talking about? Especially with millennials, the Z generation of, you know, wanting beanbag chairs with chairs and working our own hours instead of 9 to 5 kind of thing. You know, not that I'm a Z or millennial, but I mean, like, that's what I like.
So
I have millennial
saying.
Employees. Like,
don't right, touch exactly.
me, baby boomer or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, you know, where it's like, you know, it's a different environment now. It's a different work environment now. And yeah. I know we have a hard stop in a few minutes, but okay. It's a different work environment now. And, you know, I feel like women now, you know, keep me honest here, Chantal and Angela, I feel like women now is this new workforce. A lot of women don't want that family. They're like, I'm a career woman. I can have a family. I don't want kids, but I can have a wife. I can have a husband. I can have a whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to climb to the top of the corporate ladder. Gender has yeah. nothing to do with whether or not an industry is made for me or not. You know, it's, I take serious issue with that.
Yeah. And I think Chantel and I both feel differently about that particularly. Like, I'm just like, I can have dogs and a cat and nieces and nephews.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
but you know, it's, but we have we know that we have the choice to do whatever we want. And it's not like, because we feel
exactly.
obligated to do one or the other.
Yeah. The right. Molly Homemaker, leave it to Beaver thing is, I mean, those days are gone. I mean, we're coming into the boardroom, you know, get ready for us, you know, we're coming into those C-suite roles. So yeah, it's changed. A lot's changed and I'm for the good, and you know, I'm excited about it.
So let's end this on Chantel. What was your advice question is like, what would you leave?
Oh yeah. Yeah. What advice would you actually give people that are underrepresented in tech as a whole, not even just cybersecurity, but just technology? What advice would you give underrepresented people trying to enter the field?
I think it would be show up. I think it would be show up, like bring it, bring yeah. that grit, bring it. You know, yeah, we're up against unconscious bias, and
yes.
you need to just bring it, you know, represent properly. You know, you're a woman, you're part of the LGBT community, you're trans, you're whatever you are. That means that whether we want to admit it or not, we are up against more than, you know, the, you know, sorry, I like to say master race, you know, sorry, especially right now. But, you know, it's like, you know, yeah. African-American, whatever, like we got to bring it, you know, because we are up against so much more and we do have to prove something. And I know that it's like, oh, my boss is a woman and she always acts like she has something to prove. guess what? Or my boss is African American. She always acts like she has something to prove, so she's meaner. Like, because she does. She does it. She's female. Yeah. She's black. She's, you know, Asian. She's trans, whatever. And I feel like, yeah, that's, you got it. That's exactly, you may think you're insulting me, but you're right. We do. And so my advice would be bring it. Bring it.
Just that's solid advice.
Show up and own it.
I love it. Yeah, cybersecurity is not easy to begin with.
Thank you.
So do all the things. Be as employable as you can.
Yeah.
And
take it on. Take it on. Be a yes woman. Take it on and do it and figure it out later.
There you go.
Yes.
Alyssa.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thank you.
We're so excited.
We're going to do another one of these, and we're going to definitely do the margarita machine.
You guys
take care of yourselves. Have a lovely weekend. I love you both. And we'll definitely do this again.
All right. Thanks, Alyssa.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Alyssa. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Focal Point Podcast with Angela Marafino and Chantel Sims. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.